Muhammad is given credit with first calling the Jews the people of the book. We have proudly carried this title and honor for millennia. When the printing press was invented, we were the first to start publishing books so that more Jews could have access to Talmuds and commentaries and great ideas and scholarship. As American Jews, we have published more Jewish books since the birth of our nation 241 years ago than we had in all the previous centuries combined. American Jews created a Jewish Book Month, an entire month dedicated to books each fall. We focus so much of our lives and time on one particular book, the Torah, and our being able to read it as young people in the original Hebrew. But we have to ask ourselves if this long-held title, People of the Book, is still valid in 2017. Are Jews still the literate people we have always been known to be? And for those Jews who still love reading, will the Jewish book and library survive another generation in the day and age of e-readers and Google searches? For me, to be a Jew has always been synonymous with treasuring books, buying books, publishing books, and making sure that books are well cared for in libraries and homes. I have a few books at home. The most important aspect of a book is not how it looks, but how many people have access to it and how many people read it. There is even a mitzvah in Judaism, a Jewish value, called pidyon svarim, the redemption of books, which is the mitzvah of saving books from ruin or destruction. I have been a lifelong donor to the National Yiddish Book Center in Massachusetts, which has spent decades collecting and preserving our people's Yiddish history through books and papers. In the beginning of the 12th century, Ibn Ezra, a Jewish rabbinic commentator and great scholar, said the following: "A book is the most delightful companion, an inanimate thing, yet it talks. There is in the world no friend more faithful and attentive, no teacher more proficient. It will join you in solitude, keep you company, accompany you in exile, serve as a candle in the dark, and entertain you in your loneliness. It will do you good, and it will ask no favor in return." In Bar Bat Mitzvah class, I teach my students that the prayer book is their best friend. Excellent. Thank you, Harry. I remember learning to kiss my prayer book every time I closed it or dropped it as a child. How many of you did that when you were growing up? Right? Kiss the prayer book. Why kiss a prayer book? Because it is so precious that that particular book is considered like a human being. And when it wears out, it must be buried. Other Jewish books, important ones, also must be buried, which is why we have a Geniza in the backyard and one at King David Cemetery. I really have trouble when people want to get rid of old Jewish books. I feel like this adoptive mother. "Oh, don't get rid of them. I'll take it." And Gary goes, "Oh, another book." Books, Jewish books. We need to see them. We need to touch them. We need to show them to our children, and we need to read them ourselves. On Monday, sometimes I spend the day with my books. That's how I love to spend my day off. And people had asked me some questions that I hadn't had time to answer. So I tried to use some internet searches to see just what was out there. And I will tell you that the resources were pathetic. First of all, resources that purported to be Jewish were Jews for Jesus websites, other websites that had nothing to do with Judaism and had no knowledge. I spent a half hour trying to answer one question, and I asked the question to Google search a million different ways, and this answer was not available. So that made me feel good because it means people still need rabbis. So then I went walking into our main library, and I just meandered around the room, pulled old books off the shelves, and there in the most unexpected sources, so simply, clearly, and brilliantly were the answers to my questions. That is the Jewish way. The 13th century rabbi Ibn Tibbon, from a family, if you look him up on Wikipedia, they're all Ibn Tibbons. And so you kind of have to know what year is your Ibn Tibbon. So the 13th century Ibn Tibbon wrote, "My son, make books your companions. Your bookcases and your bookshelves shall be your garden and your paradise. I love spending time walking through my garden of books. Books should be the best entertainment for a learned Jew, open up our world and our minds, especially in the mindless world of endless television, internet, and video games." Not that I don't do the television part. I'm not very good with the video games. "So it is painful for me to see how many young people today consider reading a chore. What can we do to get this generation of readers reading again? For Jews, the book is the heart of our knowledge and learning. I have known Jews in history and in real life who have sacrificed food and other needs just to buy a book. Gary will tell you that I am dangerous in a bookstore, and I have become even more dangerous on Amazon Smile. I take real books with me on vacation," which meant that when we went away in February, I had to balance our luggage, not because I had too many clothes, but because I took 15 books. Real heavy books. He's learned after 41 years not to say anything. "I counted. I have 57 books next to my bed waiting to be read. I had to add a table. And that's not including the Torah and the Torah commentary, which is there all the time because you never know when you need a little bit of Torah. And I am reading 3 books simultaneously right now." In the 13th century, in a book called Sefer Chassidim, we read, "If a drop of ink fell at the same time on your book and on your coat, clean the book first and then your garment. If you drop gold and books, first pick up the books and then the gold. If a man in dire circumstances must sell his property, he should first dispose of his jewelry, his house, and his estate, and only when no other alternative is left should he dispose of his library." So we have a room in our temple dedicated to books that we call a library. And I pray that we never rid it of old books and encyclopedias and the like. The book is so much more reliable and accurate than the questionable material on the internet. But more than that, a book never needs electricity, charging, and books beckon the reader scanning the shelves in a way no electronic media or library can. A real library is an invitation to exploration of things you didn't know you wanted to explore. Just as a real card catalog in the olden days used to make me research tangents I never knew I needed to take. Frank remembers the card catalog. See, Mike, you thought I was going to say you. Mike remembers the card catalog, too. This This week, I went into our temple library twice with my conversion students to explore possible resources. It is impossible to do that in the same way with electronic books. Something will be tragically lost if congregations ever give up their libraries. How amazing is it to walk into a room and scan the shelves and look at the person next to you and say, "I think you'd like this one." You're matching a soul with the soul of a book. A library should be a place where ideas are nurtured and respected for their content and diversity. A library should be a special place, special for each book, each treasure on its shelves, and special for those who visit to open their minds and hearts. I looked at my dedication sermon when we dedicated our library, and there's a whole paragraph on not eating or drinking in the library. My friend, Rabbi Ibn Tibbon, speaks to us from the early Middle Ages. Take particular care of your books. Cover your shelves with a fine covering. Guard against damp and mice. Write a complete catalog of your books and examine them. When you lend a book, make a memorandum, and when it is returned, cancel it. Each Passover and Sukkot, call in all your books that are on loan. Which reminds me, if I have loaned you a book, it would be nice if you would think about returning it before next June. I received some books that someone left with Ellen that I loaned out 10 years ago. I have not been very good about keeping records. I just trusted people, and that trust has not always led to the swift return of my books over the years. If you currently borrowed a book in the last 6 months, don't feel pressured. But if you borrowed a book in the last 6 years, consider that a nudge. Go home and look at your books. And if you have children or grandchildren, look in their book bags now that school is over. Have you been treating your books like treasures, like gold? Are religious school books well cared for and given a good home once the school year is out? Is the family Bible in a special place? Do you have a family Bible? Do you know that sometimes people call and say, my kid, we have 3 Torah commentaries because we have 3 kids. Can we give 2 of them to the temple? Well, those 3 kids are going to go off and live on their own. And they might want to have a Torah in the house. So I always tell them to keep those books. A part of me is most encouraged as I see how important books are to my grandchildren. There is nothing that could replace cuddling in bed or in a big chair with a real book with a young child. And some of those books are just wonderful, and others are just hysterically funny. My granddaughter Miriam is now reading President Taft Got Stuck in the Bath. I mean, it's a hysterical book. Really, just look at the book because it's so much fun. I bought it for a number of friends. And now Miriam will say self, and that means you don't have to read to me or turn the pages. I can do it all by myself. And she knows which books she wants to read. And that's why Gary and I support PJ Library, because we want families to know and experience the joy and power of the Jewish book that starts with the youngest child. The challenge is keeping that joy and experience alive as those children will get older in a world ever professing to become paperless. If you haven't cuddled reading a book to a child lately, borrow someone's. And you'll be reminded how precious books are. Can we be Jewish if there are no piles of books next to our beds, on our desks waiting to be read, lining our walls? Truthfully, I don't think so. I have never been able to purchase a home without a library and bookshelves. To be a Jew is to be a lifelong learner and reader, and to be the people of the book, we must also support those who write the books and publish them. I remember as a young rabbi saying to Gary, "We need to have a book budget because without a library, I will be inauthentic." I buy books now as much to read them as I do to support the authors who write them and the publishers who have the courage to produce them. We are Am HaSefer, the people of the book, if and only if we continue to read books, revere libraries, and encourage writers and scholars to produce new literature, even as we preserve the old. David Ben-Gurion said, "We have preserved the book, and the book has preserved us." May we continue that sacred tradition here at Temple B'nai Shalom for decades to come. I don't know about you, but I need to be surrounded by books. They soothe me. And as I go off on this next mini sabbatical tomorrow, I plan on spending the good portion of the next 7 weeks reading. Someone I respect suggested that I offer you a summer reading list along with this sermon. So it is available in your service folder. I just went around my house and pulled some books. I pulled a Rabbi Rappaport. I said, what is your favorite book? So, because that's such a Rabbi Rappaport thing to do. So not only am I offering you a few suggestions and a whole variety of genres, but if you read a great book this summer, put it up on the wall. Send it in to us so that we can let other people know. And maybe we'll have a book exchange in the fall, like during Jewish Book Month. We won't sell books, we'll share books. I might let go of a few of mine. So there are a great number of books in our temple library. And when I walk in there, they cry. They say to me, "Rabbi Perlin, no one is visiting me. No one is taking me out." So here's my invitation to you. The library will be open after Oneg tonight. Feel free to go in and take one out. I think you just signed the register. There's a notebook. Okay, there's a notebook. Just sign the notebook and take the book home, and you can have it for the whole summer. It would be fantastic, and the books would stop crying if at least 20 or 30 of you took a book home from our library. We are only the people of the book when each one of us takes it upon ourselves to be a reader, collector, and preserver of books. My prayer and hope is that you join me in being that kind of person. Shabbat Shalom.